Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
To all of our listeners, I'd like to hear from you. Do you have a question only I can answer? Something you've always wanted to ask me? Send questions to me at TikTok, Instagram, or at askmartha@marthastewart.com.
I don't know how many people actually interview their fan base.
As usual, Martha, you're groundbreaking. Yeah. So
it's very heartwarming to me. So I will begin. Over the years, my colleagues and I have worked tirelessly to teach, to inform, to delight, and to inspire. Throughout the process of building an iconic and groundbreaking brand, I am lucky to have built a following. Some fans are casual observers, and some fans become very devout followers. Three of my most devoted fans are Andrew Ritchie, Bernie Wong, and Dennis Landon. Andrew is the creator of the Martha Moments blog, which is a wonderful resource for all things Martha. Bernie manages an Instagram account that features food, gardening, and my many products. Dennis is equally enthusiastic about the Martha brand and has been a big supporter of me for years. We all met last year when these three traveled all the way to New York to shop at my Great American Tag Sale. And today, I thought it would be informative and fun to get together via video to find out why the Martha brand attracted them so much. Welcome to my podcast, Andrew, Bernie, and Dennis. It's very nice to see you via Zoom. Okay, but you look good. You look the same as you looked at the tag sale. I think I'm still recovering from the tag sale. That was a very big effort on a lot of people's parts. But boy, I think I expended the most energy just because gathering all that stuff from all the different places that it came from was exhausting. But to have people like you there talking to the rest of the buyers was so, so fabulous. And I cannot tell you how much it meant to them to have you there also. I don't know if very many podcasters actually have interviewed their fan base, but here we go. We're talking to three guys. You know, these are men. They're not women fans. These are men fans who have kind of adopted the Martha brand as something to focus on, and it's quite astonishing to me that this has happened. And I know I have friends, and I consider you my friends, but it's hard sometimes for a human being to think, oh my God, I have a fan base. And that's how I feel. I feel, my gosh, and when people say, oh, don't you get tired of people asking for your autograph? I always say, absolutely not. Because if they don't ask for my autograph, maybe they're already forgetting me. But I think we've made an impact. And I think that you guys, with your wonderful, wonderful outpouring of information, all things Martha, have really helped support that work that we have done over the last 30 years as the Martha Stewart Living brand. So thank you. I want to thank you. When were you first introduced to the Martha brand? Let's start with you, Bernie.
I was introduced, to be honest, I came as a foreign student from Malaysia, and it was my first Christmas without host parents, away from my parents, because it was not convenient to travel. And I decided I'm going to bake cookies because I'm feeling really homesick. So I turn on the TV to keep me company. And of course, your show was on. And I heard your voice, and I was like, who is this nice lady? She is not annoying like a lot of other cooking shows. I like this one. This is much better. You know, she's actually, and I said, oh, she's Martha Stewart. I've never heard of her. And it was like, oh, and she's actually teaching me things I want to know, and I'm interested in, and I'm going to learn. So that was my
What year was that, Bernie?
That was 1996, I think, or 95. Uh-huh. It's a long time ago.
And what about you, Dennis?
I actually bought my house that we live in 1992, like Memorial Day. And I was trying to, you know, do things around, you know, improvements around my house. And I was talking to a colleague about like a year later, because I wanted to like get into the space and then try to figure out what I wanted to do with color and that sort of thing. And so I was talking to a colleague, and she said, you know, she said, there's a magazine that I get that it's an issue that has the issue about painting, and you know, like the interior of a house and different techniques and stuff. And she said, I'll bring it for you. So she brings it.
You have it right here.
What it is this very issue from.
I love that issue.
From April, May, 1993. And so I took it. She said, you can borrow the magazine, but I want it back. It's like, okay. So I took it home and I started looking, and then it's like, I got sidetracked because I started looking through it, and the whole painting section, I was like the last of my interest on it because there were so many other things in the magazine that got my attention. And so I started getting the magazine shortly thereafter. Like I went to the newsstand and then started my own getting the subscription and been getting it ever since.
And the house is still painted all the Martha colors here.
How lovely. Now, I just want to point out that Bernie and Dennis are partners and live together in, where do you live?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin. Far from Malaysia, Bernie.
Very far.
Now to Andrew Ritchie. When were you first introduced to the Martha brand? What attracted you to my brand?
It was definitely through the magazine. I was in college, actually in Toronto. And every time I would do groceries, I would just see this gorgeous magazine at the newsstand with these evocative photographs of flower arrangements and cakes. And it just sort of entranced me. And I just became so enamored of the visual style of the magazine, really. I had gone to art school in high school, so I had sort of like a very aesthetic eye, I think. And it really just sort of appealed to me. And then as I sort of went through the magazine, I was realizing how much it was actually teaching me how to, things that, you know, my parents and that the generation of my parents sort of neglected to teach, I think, a lot of their kids, how to make a bed, how to cook, how to organize. So all of these things kind of like came into my life through the magazine, but it was really the visual side of the magazine that first piqued my interest.
It's funny that you say about what your parents forgot to teach you, because I remember my brother's a dentist in Buffalo, New York, and he said, Martha, he said, there is an increased incidence of tooth decay in children. And I said, well, why? What do you account? What do you what, why? Because he said, because mothers are back to work and they're not teaching their children how to brush their teeth and not making sure the kids are brushing their teeth. So it's the same thing. Mothers went back to work, the single, no parent household. The kids were, they came latchkey kids and they didn't know, nobody was teaching them anything about the domestic arts. Right. And my first real goal was to teach and inspire. And it worked. It worked on you three guys, which is very sure. nice. You got the message loud
absolutely.
And clear, and that you were three men who really spearheaded a big following of other followers. That you're men is also indicative of the fact that my fastest growing audience at the present time is men, because we were geared totally towards women. You know, advertisers wanted to know what age women were we attracting. They never asked about the men. Now they're asking about men. They want to know who is the audience. Andrew Ritchie, you're the best editor that I know.
Oh, well, thank
Andrew
you so
Ritchie.
Much. Oh my goodness,
really?
What a
and
compliment!
And your blog is so beautifully edited. It's called Martha it is. Moments. When did you start this blog, and why?
So I started it in 2006, which is a really long time ago now that I think about it. I basically just wanted to build an archive, yes, for fans, written by a fan, from a fan's perspective, where collectors could come and find out about, you know, the magazines that you had published, the books that you had published, and basically just sort of elevate it again. I had actually written for SaveMartha.com. I know you remember SaveMartha.com during the early yes. 2000s.
This was when I was having legal problems, everyone. You probably, if you're listening, you probably know about those. And Andrew Ritchie was one of my foremost supporters. Thank
well,
you very,
very
much.
What I found was that, like, not just you were sort of being undermined, but your work was also being undermined, which I found very upsetting as someone who had learned so much from it. So when you were back at work and you were, you know, back on television, I wanted to really create something that brought the work back and sort of made it put the spotlight back on the goodness of the work, because it has really enhanced my life and so many other people as well.
So what did you think of as a Martha moment, and where did that name come from?
Well, the name actually comes from Oprah Winfrey. She used it once on her program when she was with you. I think you were doing a weddings segment, and you had put a gardenia, floating gardenia, in a dish with water and candles. And she said, "Oh, I'm having a Martha moment." And at that time, you can hear Oprah's voice. I know you can hear Oprah's voice saying that. At that time, it was kind of a thing to say you were having a Martha moment. So if you made a beautiful cake or if you set a beautiful table, you would have a Martha moment. So when I actually sat down to write the blog, I knew that that was going to be the title, because people could have a Martha moment any day, anytime. As long as there was beauty, as long as there was some kind of utility, some kind of, you know, fascination with the everyday, that's a Martha moment. So that's how it all kind of began.
And people also say, "It's so Martha."
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
You know, that's another phrase. A Martha moment is lovely. And thank you, Oprah. But "It's so Martha" is another thing I hear
yes.
a lot. And how flattering that is, too, because people really respond to good ideas. Yeah. And they also respond very much to the other phrase that I use a lot, "It's a good
yes.
thing."
Oh, yes.
Yes.
So "It's a good thing" is still a very alive and well, and people still joke. They think it's a joke now, you know, "Oh, it's a good thing," and they laugh at me.
Oh, I still know, use when it. When I use it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're the three of you showed up at the tag sale. Now, everyone who's listening, I don't know if you know about the tag sale. We did a TV special about it called The Great American Tag Sale. And I decided I had an overflow of collectibles, a big overflow from – I had sold my house in East Hampton that was chock full of beautiful things. I had barns full of beautiful things here at my farm in Bedford, New York. And I decided I would have a charity tag sale to benefit my hospital at Mount Sinai called the Martha Stewart Center for Living. And we did raise just shy of $1 million, which I was so proud of.
That's
and I don't miss anything much, it's kind of heartbreaking to part with some of the things that you collect. But boy, I think we caused a lot of joy. And oh, you guys certainly helped engender a lot of goodwill by your presence. And I really appreciate that. What was it like for you, Bernie?
It was like a dream because I had never had the chance to come to any of your shows or come to any of your book signings, you know, for one reason or another. So my first time meeting you in person. So that was, that alone was, you know, I was like, when I met you at the cocktail party the night before, I thought, okay, I don't care if I don't find anything I wanted to buy because I'm already happy that I'm here.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, I think we found everything that
got a huge, didn't you have a trailer attached to your car?
Yeah. Because, you know, and then, you know, the chairs, the green chairs we're sitting on.
Oh, look, you have those beautiful chairs. Yeah. Powder coated by Martha. What else did you get at the tag sale, Bernie?
Oh, we got the other favorite thing was the chairs that are reproductions of the ones on the front cover of Entertaining.
Oh, the ring, the ring, Chippendale. Heppelwhite, actually, those are Heppelwhite chairs.
Yeah, we have them stored away now. We're currently shopping for new buildings to put them in. A lot of stuff that we found that we love, like the green metal trays that, you know, I always use for my tea time on my Instagram that I love.
Yep.
You know, the metal
so,
market.
So people, Instagram Bernie Wong Green, and you will be so happy to see this Instagram. Because it's not only highlights beautiful green things and Martha things that he has collected, but it also highlights the great talent of Bernie as a cook. You make beautiful things, Bernie, and when you were making your jam, it was the most beautiful because I had never seen those jam pots that you use.
Well, I have full disclosure, those are his jam pots, and Dennis is the one that introduced me to them.
Oh, those are great.
And I was like a big naysayer of those darn jam pots until I used one. And I thought, where have these been all these years?
Do they still sell them?
Yeah. And I think that the ball company, well, first, I think you should have a line of these, Martha.
Yeah.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. The thing that they're so incredibly good for is for people who are either handicapped or elderly people who used to make jam the old-fashioned way, but now can't stand at a stove and stand and stir.
Yeah, it does the stirring for you. That's the best part.
Cooking.
It does the stirring. It can temperature control, so you're not going to burn your jam. You're not going to have boiling over your stove, all that syrup. Well, I use a French method of making jams and jellies, which requires macerating the fruit in the refrigerator for a couple days.
Right.
So I do that. But you could do it with that jam pot too,
yeah.
I'm sure. What I like about the idea of it is that it's temperature controlled and that it's self-contained. You don't,
yeah,
that's
absolutely
what I like about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so what did you get from the tag sale, Andrew?
I was a little limited by what I could bring back into Canada. And I had a smallish car, so I didn't have a lot of room to bring stuff home in.
I would have kept stuff for you.
Oh, you would have? Oh, now I know. Oh, darn.
Yes, of course.
Okay, I should have written my name on something.
Well, we'll come get them. Andrew bought the most fabulous plant stand. Andrew, tell Martha.
I did. Yeah, one of the wicker plant stands that I think you had, it was either at Lily Pond Lane or at one of the houses at Cantito Corners.
Oh.
And it was painted a beautiful sort of Ceylon green, darker Ceylon green.
Lovely.
Yeah, really beautiful. And it's in my dining room now with a beautiful Boston fern on it. And every time I look at it, I think of you and I think of that wonderful experience.
I think there is still a bureau and there is also, I think, a mirror and there's also a table still waiting to be picked up.
Okay.
Paid for and not picked up.
Okay. This little caramel glass squirrel acorn dish.
Oh, yes.
From Martha
I love that dish.
Yeah. It was the last one. I wish I wanted a pair, but they went so fast.
Andrew, we'll
so
find you more. We'll keep a lookout.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Bernie.
Bernie finds everything. Bernie, you are an inveterate visitor to consignment shops, to tag sales, to antique shops.
Actually, Dennis is too, and that's the one of the things other than for all things Martha that we love, that we connected on, is our love for treasure hunting. And mm-hmm. I always joke that, first of all, you know, we were introduced to each other on Martha Moments. So, you know, we always...
I didn't know that. Really?
That's so touching to me, by the way.
We became pen pals, and Dennis suggested, why don't we do jam swaps? So we were mailing each other jams. And, you know, and then of course, remember Martha did an article about the world's longest yard sale.
Oh, yes.
And then so Dennis was attending this yard sale. I was resisting because I said, I need to not buy so many things. So Dennis said one year, he says, hey, you know, I'm coming to start the yard sale in Alabama, which is only less than an hour from where you're living. You might have a hand deliver the jams. I was like, perfect. You can pick up your installment from me. And so I said, well, and he came with two of his friends, Claire and Pam. And so I said, perfect, my excuse to make brunch. So I made brunch for them. They came, and that was our first meeting. You know, that's when Martha Moments friends get together, we pull out all the stops. We're like, let's do it very Martha. Mm-hmm. And we did mm-hmm. that. And I didn't go to the sale the first year, but I saw Dennis's pictures. Like, I'm going to it next year. So the following year, I went on the sale, and then, you know, I only went for one day. Then the next year I went, you know, more of the sale. So, you know, it was like we were dating on the world's longest yard sale, treasure hunting for Martha items. And the first thing we found that morning was a 2-cup measuring cup from Kmart.
With green numbers on it.
Yes, yeah. We have one right here.
We have a whole cabinet filled.
Right here, Martha. These are all the measuring cups.
But those are the greatest. And again, we use these all the time. These are probably, 30 years old?
Yep, more than 30.
So as good as what they were on day one. Mm-hmm.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all 6 delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last 1.5 years. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy.
He just seduced him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, there have been many companies out there that have educated readers about domestic life. What attracted you to my company, my brand, my magazine in particular? So, Andrew?
I think it was just the clarity of the instruction and the presentation of the ideas. I had never really seen a magazine that elevated the home to such a beautiful standard. And that was kind of encouraging to sort of help you move to the next level. If you knew how to do something, like say bake a cake, let's take it to the next level. Let's make it even better, even nicer. And again, it was all through the photography, through the, you know, inspirational videos that you did on the television show as well. Just basically the presentation of the ideas that was just so innovative and new. It just felt very, you lauded it to like a new level. And that was really inspiring.
And Bernie, what did you think?
I'm very visual, like Andrew, as you can tell from Instagram. But, and also to piggyback what he said, also, not only is it beautiful, it's sort of like the magazine, it gives you the tools, the information you need, the techniques right there. And it's one of those things you read and like, oh, okay, so that's how you do it. That's not so hard, or it won't take a little bit of practice. And it's just very empowering that way. You know, you do things you thought, oh, I never knew I could do that. But then here are those instructions and you try it and oh, this is fun. That was easy. And look how pretty it is. Let's do it again. You know, it's very empowering, I guess. That's, yeah.
And it was Dennis? Such a complete vision.
Yeah. I would say that I find your product very uniquely designed and very user-friendly. And, you know, to me, I think that they're set apart from all the other product lines out there. You know, some people like put their name on just anything, but the lot of your items are, I should say most of your items, or maybe I should even say all, that they're uniquely designed and user-friendly, and they're extremely functional as well as useful, you know,
and well made too. I can add well made. Because like you gentlemen, I really care about utility and I care about longevity. I don't want to make anything that's planned obsolete. And, you know, at the present time, I don't want to say, oh, this will last you for 3 years and then you have to buy a new one. Many, many companies think that way. There's a lot of economic books have been written about planned obsolescence. I don't believe in that at all. In fact, my favorite towels at present are the towels that I designed for Kmart in the 1980s. They're fabulous towels. They were made in Brazil, out of 100% cotton. And they are, I still have them. I have them in my whole house in Maine. Every bathroom, and there's like 20 bathrooms up there in Maine, has these towels in the bathroom. And they're still as good as they were when they were made in the 1980s. So that's important to me. And I'm so glad that you recognize that in the product. I'm jealous of the way you display everything. When I look at your Instagram every single day, and I notice how your displays are, and you're so organized, and I just want to buy another house and display everything the way. I think I probably have everything you have.
We moved in together, you know, both of us longtime collectors, and we actually have a problem right now. We are actually looking for a property to display everything because we have to rotate our displays at the moment.
Well, if you find someplace, I'll add to your archives. Anything that's missing that I have, you're welcome to display. Let's make a little museum.
That's so funny because I was just thinking of that the other day
a little destination. You want to do it. See, here we go. Here we are. We're being entrepreneurial. And by the way, Bernie, what's your favorite good thing?
You know, it's really, really hard to pick. And I think I discovered that my favorite, if I had to pick a good thing, I think I'm tied with Andrew because he had shared on the Martha Moments what his favorite good thing was the dish soap. I'm staring at it right now by this kitchen sink. It's the dish soap that you decant it into a nice bottle.
With a bar pourer top.
Yes. Yeah, with a bar pourer. Yes. So yeah. I'll, you know, let Andrew probably talk about that because he, you know, but because I've always thought, you know, the sink, kitchen sink, it's so pretty and, you know, but then
it's such a simple idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a simple idea. The soap bottles are so ugly. And and sorry, Palmolive, you're my favorite dish soap, but the clear Palmolive
too.
Clear Palmolive is my favorite because it's clear. And in those days, I don't think they were even making clear, so mine was green, of course. But it still looked better than the bottle, the plastic bottle on my sink. But so yeah. that was not my very first good thing. The very very first good thing was when I painted the handles of some small garden tools orange. And that's I right. said, now my garden tools won't get lost in the garden. It's a good thing because you'll see them. And that's when everybody picked up on it's a good thing. And I continued with that franchise.
But my second favorite, so I'll end up talking about my second favorite good thing is this.
The best, the hand cultivator from Japan.
Yeah, and of course you can see this is the Kmart version.
Yep.
And it's this one is pristine because this is this, you know, I bought as many as I could. so we never want to run out of these. We take care of the one we use all the time has lost all its paint. So maybe it's ready for a new coat.
I totally agree. That is my favorite garden tool to this day. I discovered that shape hand cultivator in Japan on my first trip. Sometime in the late, I think I went to Japan the first time around 1980 something, and I discovered that tool. And at that time, that tool cost $1.90 in yen, I think it was outside of Kyoto. That's where I found it. And boy, I have made an awful lot of those tools and sold an awful lot because it's really a great, great hand tool. I'm glad you like that. That's great. Now, Dennis, what about you? Do you have a favorite good thing?
I think my very first good thing was the copper tubing hose guard.
With
the copper tubing, with the copper cap. I've had to replace a few of these because you pull your hose by and whatnot.
You stand it up in the garden and you hammer that down into a corner, say, of a garden, and then your hose goes around it on the path and doesn't rip through your flower bed.
Yeah.
I started making those. I was trying to think. I remember that was at Turkey Hill Road.
Yeah, yeah.
Long time ago, and I had lots of brick and gravel paths everywhere in my garden. It was a very, like, Williamsburg-esque kind of garden. And I kept dragging my hose. I had to have somebody stand there while I pulled the hose so it wouldn't go into the flowers. And that's when I came up with that copper pipe.
That's the best thing.
We still have them. I still have them. They're still out there.
He went out to the garden this morning and washed that off. I'm like, I said, you better put it back because the hose is going to hit the flowers in the spring.
I got scolded for bringing it in. He said, where did you get that? I said, it was out there. I'll put it back when I'm done.
Oh, and what about you, Andrew? What's your favorite good thing?
As Bernie mentioned, it's definitely the dish soap and by the side of the sink. It's just such a simple, effective idea that, you know, takes something that's not very attractive and makes it attractive. I mean, sometimes you actually just want to look at the bottle because it's so beautiful. It's sitting beside the sink, you know, and it encourages you, obviously, to do dishes as well. So, but there's just so many good things that have just been so inspiring and, you know, I like the idea that it's something that's...
It's nice. It appeals. Good things. Just the name appeals to so many people. Yeah. I remember one of my girlfriend's little girls was in her kitchen putting a saucer of water under the cat food dish. And the mother looked at her and said, what the heck are you doing? What are you putting water in a dish for? And she said, well, I learned this good thing on Martha's show because it keeps the ants from getting into the food. This was like a four-year-old girl telling her mother that she had seen it on my show. And that just made me understand that good things were widely appealing and widely useful to all ages. Yeah. So thank you for that. That's amazing. Andrew Ritchie, you edited your own cookbooks. I did get a copy of your cookbook last year.
Yes, that's really the only thing that I did.
But you're an amazing editor. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you, Martha.
So
that's so nice of you.
What do you do for a living?
I actually work at Anthropology, which has nothing to do at all with editing, but I'm a manager at an Anthropology store here in Ottawa in Canada. And I just like the environment of it, the creativity of it. If you know anything about Anthropology, there's lots of display, there's lots of sort of artistic merchandising.
Oh, no, it's a store we visit often, and Anthropology has now fostered another store called Terrain.
Terrain, yeah. I know you love Terrain. I have not been. They're not in Canada, but I really want to go.
Oh, well, when you come down again, if you come down again, I will take you to Terrain in Westport, Connecticut.
Oh, wow.
It's one of the liveliest, nicest stores. And it's basically a garden store that's branched out into home goods, too, and nursery. And now they have a very nice restaurant. And I think they must have maybe three or four of them now scattered on the East Coast.
Yeah.
You would like it a lot.
We actually, after the tag sale closed on Saturday, we needed, of course, you know, we needed to go do more shopping. So we drove down. We actually drove down to Westport, not for Terrain, actually, because I had never, Dennis had visited Turkey Hill when you did the garden tour. I had never seen Turkey Hill in person. So we had to do a drive-by.
I said, because he said, well, they said, well, what should we do? We had our friend Jennifer, who's another Martha Moments person that we met through the group. She lives in Minneapolis, and so she, when she heard that we were going to the sale, she asked if she could come along, and I said, absolutely. And so after we got done with the sale, they said, well, now what should we do? And I said, well, you guys want to go see Turkey Hill? And there was like gasp in the inside the Yukon.
I'm like, let's go. And then, so of course, we drove up and down, up and down the road, hoping that, I was like, these people must think we're crazy, driving up and down, just looking. Because it was just, and then, of course, we went to Terrain, and then we had the best seafood at Westfair Fish and Chips.
So we published the Martha Stewart Living magazine for 30 years. Mm-hmm. Last year was the 30th year of publication. How many issues do you all have?
I have everything from 1996 onward. So every issue from 1996 right up to the last issue. I have all of the special issues. I have all of the baby issues, all of the kids issues. I don't have not a lot of everyday food and not a lot of weddings. And I also have, I don't know if you probably remember this, Martha, but it's your first newsletter. The first newsletter that you ever published before the magazine.
Yes, I love that.
Yeah, and that's such a treasure to me, too, to have that. It was something that you had done before the magazine even started, and it's just, it's so personal, too. It's one of my treasures.
I have a whole notebook of those. Mm-hmm. I should republish some of those, because those were kind of interesting.
They were. Lots of good information, too.
And what about you, Dennis? How many copies do you have?
We have every issue and duplicates of several.
And what's great about them is when I pull them out, I say, well, this is still better than any magazine I can get on the newsstand.
Oh, absolutely.
Even one that's 20, 30 years old, the content is still just as relevant and informative and visually just evergreen.
Well, that's the word. We tried very hard to make everything evergreen. Mm-hmm. And we thought, well, if this is the way to plant a tree, this is the way we're going to write the instructions of how to plant a tree, and we won't change it until we find a better way to plant a tree.
Right.
So that's the way, that was our philosophy from day one, is always to try to get in words and pictures, beautiful photographs, the best way to do everything. And so here we have three men who can attest to the fact, and they still live by it. This is pretty fabulous. Yeah. What's your favorite cover, Andrew?
I actually have it right here. I have two of them. There's one with you on the cover and one without you on the cover. But the one with you on the cover is this one with the photograph by William Abramowitz. And it's Teeny, Weeny, and Mozart. And I think you're sitting at Lily Pond. February.
That was not Turkey Hill. Yeah, that was Turkey Hill.
Turkey Hill.
The cats don't travel.
Oh, I see.
Cats do not go from... I took them once. I took five cats once to Lily Pond, and I spent 3 days searching for five cats. And they discovered every little nook and cranny. That house had a lot of nooks and crannies, and I will never, ever take my cats elsewhere. So... But Mozart was my favorite of all cats. Mozart was so beautiful. And then what's your other favorite?
This is the one that's without you on the cover. Yeah. Christopher Baker took the photo.
And you know, I think that's the first, that one is the first issue I bought on the newsstand.
Oh, was it? Yeah, oh my gosh. Oh, wow. I just think it's so stunning. The colors, the composition.
That was, again, here in Bedford, with Kevin Sharkey using my tulips from the garden in that black iron, beautiful black iron urn. And those tulips, oh, he did the arrangement.
Yeah,
and that's a typical Kevin Sharkey arrangement. Mm-hmm. A few classical, lilacs.
Beautiful.
Isn't that gorgeous?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so beautiful. And Bill is still a photographer, Bill Abronowitz. He's a breakthrough photographer. Who did the cats? I forget who did the cats.
The cats was actually Abronowitz, and then Christopher Baker.
Oh, that was also Abronowitz.
This one was Christopher Baker did the flowers, yeah.
That's right. Chris Baker was one of my first photographers, and he did my Christmas book, my first Christmas book.
Oh, okay.
And and Christopher, we had, I think, 30 days to photograph that Christmas book.
Wow.
And by the 30th day, he was almost broken because it was a tremendous amount of work.
Yes.
And then he went on to work for us for years afterward. We're still good friends, and I have one of his most beautiful platinum printed photographs in my front hall at the farm here. And he has talented children, and he's amazing. He's an amazing photographer. Do you have a favorite cover, Bernie?
Yeah. So my favorite is this one.
The Great Wall of China.
Great Wall of China, because I remember the first time this came in the mail, I mean, I stopped there and said, oh, good. You know, I don't feel so bad having so many dishes. I love, you know, just how it's displayed and just, you know, it's just really comforting. And actually, my second favorite is actually, I'm tied with Andrew, because this is the issue with the article about aesthetic transferware.
You got some good stuff at the tag sale, didn't you?
I did. My prize pieces now to almost complete my collection of aesthetic transferware. So, but yeah, this is probably my favorite cover if I had to pick. But you know, it's hard to pick. When people ask me, I said, "Well, the one I'm currently looking at."
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys remind me a little bit of Fritz Karch, you know, Fritz from the magazine. Yeah, he was our collecting editor. I mean, we had a collecting editor, a nature editor, many cooking editors, but the collecting was something that appealed to so many people because we did stories on so many different collectibles. And I think that really, when we did Fire King, the prices skyrocketed for Fire King, and they still are way up there for the original Fire King.
Well, I think the thing that the collecting articles did was a lot of people didn't see the beauty or the utility of a lot of stuff. They just thought, okay, this is just junk or whatever. But the articles, collecting articles, really highlighted, you know, the item that was featured, like milk glass. You know, I remember the article about milk glass that was just amazing, because then, you know, I was happy with that because, oh, I can find milk glass, you know, other than other things. And I think Venice has his favorite cover right there.
Yeah, I mean, mine obviously is the very first one that got introduced me to you and your whole brand. And so,
the one about paint.
Yeah, and you know, the rest is history, you know.
Yeah, and we're still painting. We're still choosing colors. We're still. I just painted the tenant house after the tag sale. The tenant house was kind of empty because we took a lot of stuff out of there. My daughter came up one day. That's her house, and she just took everything off the shelves and put it all on the floor. And she said, "I want this empty." And so with all the walls, I repainted the walls, just subtle shades of in a low VOC paint from Texas, fabulous water paint, and the walls look very beautiful. But we're still doing it. See, we'll never stop doing what we love,
right.
And that's what the whole basis of living was: doing things that you love to beautify your homes, to make it nicer for everybody to live in.
Absolutely.
Really, and the chores and the projects don't have to be break your back. They don't have to be terribly expensive. They can just be oh, I really love fiesta wear. I'm going to start a little collection of my own and display it on this wall. Exactly. And that's what people do now. And then it gets them interested in other things. And that's what I think we engendered a lot of was a delight in collecting, displaying, using all these beautiful things.
You make good friends through the process.
Yes, you do.
Yes, absolutely.
Indeed.
Because I think... Yeah. We always, when we get together with other Martha Moments members, I think we're all on that same wavelength and we appreciate the same, you know, doing things nicely and all that. So when you get together, it's just like, it's like your old friends in a way.
But it's not even just doing it nicely. Your guys are doing it wonderfully. And I am so proud when I look at your work. So remember, at Bernie Wong Green. Dennis, do you have a handle too?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as active on Instagram.
My Instagram is really the both of us, you know, Dennis.
Yes, that's what I figure. You're talking about each other, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm more on Facebook and with the things that we do. And so, you know, it's kind of a, that way it's not so time intensive for
you. You know, sometimes it takes time to do social media. So.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I've tried very hard to limit my viewing and my posting to just not very much in a day because I don't have time either. But it's so fascinating to look at my good friends and see what they're doing. And Andrew, how long does Martha Moments take of you?
Well, I try to do at least two or three posts a week on the Instagram page. So it's at Martha_Moments. And then it's kind of moved away from the blog a little bit to the social media aspect, which I think is just sort of the reality of life today. So there's the
People
Martha
have
Moments.
A shorter attention span.
Yes, right? Exactly. Yeah. So there's the Martha Moments Facebook group, which has almost 6,000 members now. And then there's the Instagram page, which has almost 5,000 followers. So the Instagram is a good opportunity to kind of really focus something on one post, one idea, one photograph, one moment, and really highlight that.
And on Bernie Wong Green, we actually, it's very spontaneous. It's really how we live. You know, it's just how we live. And I'll just snap a photo. I'm like, okay, let's snap a photo of that. Like when he decided to make.
But you want to know something, Bernie. Bernie, the difference is your photos are really good.
Yes.
And when you post them, it looks so just amazing, every single one. So you'll be getting, after this podcast, you'll be getting a lot more followers, all of you. So be prepared. But be ready. But really and truly, it's incredible what you make of the material. And now, Bernie, you cook a lot. Do you also do things for people's parties and stuff? Or are you catering a little bit?
Yeah. So we cook a lot because we try not to eat out as much because we like our own, you know, we make our work meals. And
plus the fact that we make things better than we can find when we go out. So, and we have a nice setup and it's like, why not?
And, you know, and Dennis, you know, we both collect cookbooks and we love reading through them and just, you know, so why not cook a lot? And I used to have a business making wedding cakes. So now we just do them for friends and family. You know, we try to not advertise because we can't keep up. So it's just people who know will call us and say, hey, can you bake me some cookies? We're like, okay, we hope we can. We're not at work.
Well, sometimes you make like 1,000 cookies and they're so good.
Like on an epic scale.
You know, we love, actually, you know, it's, I have to blame Dennis. I usually like to make, you know, just 2 or 3 batches. And Dennis was like, well, why bother if you're only going to make.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we can make some, why don't we make some extras, you know? And so, yeah, we do everything pretty much on a grand scale. And
right. Now, Dennis, we didn't talk about your occupation. You are a nurse.
Yes. I work at a state psychiatric hospital where we all pretty much forensic patients. So those are individuals who have committed horrible crimes, but who are mentally ill. But the nice thing about that is I have a kind of a unique schedule. So that's why I can, you know, we can do the things that we'd like to do because I end up working 16-hour days and I work 5 of those days every 2 weeks. And so then I have 8 days off in a row.
You have a stressful job.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But can you take your overflow cookies to the hospital?
Oh, well, not for the patients, but my coworkers love it when we do, because when we make stuff, I say, well, why don't we make an extra? You can take one to work, or I'll take them to work, and people just love it.
Yeah, you know? Coworkers get, you know, when, like the other day, we had to use up some bananas, so we just made two banana cakes, and we're like, oh, these would be great at work. You know, coworkers would love them. So that's what we usually do. We share with coworkers, and like for Christmas, you know, we don't tend to buy gifts because most of our friends already have everything. We don't know what to buy them. So, and they appreciate getting something homemade. And we learned that, you know, from reading the magazine, and, you know, we try to package them like in a nice box, or in like, if you're giving somebody a baking tin, you fill it up with cookies. You know, that's a
when
very
it says try, thing. Everything looks picture perfect with Bernie Wong Green.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all six delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What about you, Andrew? You're cooking a lot.
Well, you actually taught me how to bake. I never really had even sort of ventured that way. But when COVID happened, we were kind of trapped in our houses for all that time. I realized that I had sort of bookmarked all of these baking recipes in all of your cookbooks. And, oh, you know, one day I'll do it. One day I'll make it. And then here I have all this time on my hands. I just decided, okay, well, now's the time that I'm going to do it. So I started. I did have an exercise bike nearby, just so you know. Yeah, and a freezer full of goodness. But yeah, I just started baking and then also used your magazine as kind of inspiration for styling the photographs of the finished product. Someone like Aisha Patel, who worked with you for so long in the style department, was such a big inspiration to me in her styling of the photographs. And I just decided to photograph them, put them together, and make a sort of like a very small cookbook for family and friends. And that was really rewarding to me. So
I just saw Aisha last week at the mushroom dinner. Did you see my post on the mushroom dinner?
Gail Towie's house. Yes,
at Gail Towie's gorgeous townhouse in Greenwich Village. See, these gentlemen that I'm talking to today, this fan base knows my editors, they know the photographers, they know the artists that drew the drawings. I mean, it's really great. Aisha would be so thrilled to know that you were using her name. Yeah, I'm going to tell her that you mentioned her.
Yeah, we were so glad because Hannah was posting some really fun live videos, and I was so glad I was available. So I kept logging. I was like, oh, what's Hannah showing us now? Yep. This is so cool.
Martha, I don't know if you can hear. We have chickens, and we let them out during the winter to roam around in the yard and stuff.
Oh, good.
So on our patio right now, so I apologize if they're making noise because typically
I don't hear them. But good for you. I went to the Northeast Poultry Congress this Saturday with Chris Fitzmiller. And I got myself a pair of bourbon red turkeys. They're beautiful, and they're going to be laying a lot of eggs. And I hope I'll hatch some new ones. And I got myself some new cochins. I had a male cochin, a black cochin, a big one from last year, and no wives. So I got him some wives, and he's very happy.
Well, that's exciting.
we're still at the chicken things. But I hear that there is a network of people out there that look for some of the products that we've produced, and there's even a quarterly tag sale. Is that which tag sale is that?
So that's the Martha Moments group, the Facebook group, which has, as I say, almost 6,000 members now from all over the world. Seasonally, we do a tag sale. So we sort of allow people on the group to sell Martha Stewart books, magazines, products, merchandise amongst each other. And it's amazing what people have. And it's a really good way, I think, to sort of get that.
So when is that? When is that?
The next one will be in the spring. So I do like spring, summer, fall, winter. So probably, I'm guessing, I haven't really decided on a date, but probably April or May. We'll open that up for the month.
We'll be watching for that.
Okay.
And what are the products that Martha fans covet the most?
I think at the moment the green mixers, the KitchenAid green mixer.
I actually before I was able to get one and find one, I actually called KitchenAid and asked them, okay. How do we go about getting a color back? And they said, well, what color are you talking about? So I told them, and they said, you know, that's a retired color, and we, you know, they don't bring them back. I actually even went to their headquarters and went on a tour and brought it up again. And they said, well, just keep calling, because she said, if you bother them enough, they will bring back retired color. So
maybe Martha has to call them, because it is Martha Green on the mixer. It says on the bottom.
Martha Green, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely Martha Green.
And I think
don't tell anybody, but I do have some of those.
Yeah, so do we.
I'm going to have to do another green tag sale.
No, people have been asking, and they're like, when do you think Martha's tag sale is? I want to go. I was like, you know, I think Martha needs to rest and think about it.
So what should every Martha fan have, would you say?
I would say that every Martha fan should probably have the first issue of the magazine if they can find it. It does come up on eBay quite regularly.
What's the price now on eBay?
It usually starts around $60.
Which is a deal there. These days, because
it is a deal. I've seen some go for hundreds.
For somebody.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen some go for hundreds of dollars, and yeah, this is it right here.
I know a friend that paid $350 for his first issue recently.
Wow! Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yep. And that in my Ralph Lauren flannel shirt.
Yes.
Yeah.
With your Armani sweater.
Yep.
And your Hanes t-shirt. It says on the inside, Hanes the t-shirt was by Hanes.
Oh, yeah.
Anything Martha by mail now is very coveted by fans. Yeah. The quality was so superior and just it was fantastic.
But as far as something that everyone should have, if you bake, this was what I was going to pine out. This was the first thing I ever bought from the catalog. And is this little spatula.
It'll
change your life in the kitchen.
Yeah.
When you bake cookies.
That's in our new Martha.com tools.
Yeah.
That's my favorite spatula of all time. I made chicken wings yesterday and I roasted them on a flat sheet cookie sheet with salt, and then to get them off, I used that upside down.
That worked
perfectly, and it got every speck of crust off. It was so great. That is the best spatula.
So glad that folks can order a version of this now on Martha.com.
Yes,
this and we ordered a few more too. So just to have.
Oh, extra. Good. Do you use the square ladle for your jelly making?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we it's now a collection, Martha. Every time a new version comes out, we get at least one. So we have, I think, the one from Macy's and the one.
Yep.
Now the perforated one.
Yeah.
And we're excited for the perforated one.
Oh, yeah. I used it yesterday. I was making dog food, and I had to take out all the fish from the broth for the dog food, and I used the perforated one, and it was perfect.
I'm really excited for just the perforated perfect. One for, you know, just all kinds of jobs I can think of.
So, again, those of you who are listening who don't know what the heck we're talking about, just look at Martha.com for some of our new products. But I am thrilled to have talked to you guys, and I am so relieved that you are fans that actually you're such intelligent guys, but you do appreciate quality, and it makes me so happy to hear you extol the virtues of what we've tried to do for the last 30 years. I always say learn something new every day, and I have learned a lot from you today. It's an amazing conversation, and I would love to continue it again in a few months and see what else you've discovered.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for spending time with us, and Dennis, Andrew, Bernie, and thank you and the many others out there for celebrating my company, the company that I built from scratch. I'm proud to hear that all the work we've done and continue to do elevates living so that people like you are interested in it. And I'm so happy to have spoken to you. To read Andrew's blog, go to marthamoments.com. And to follow Bernie, go to @BernieWongGreen, all one word. Again, thanks, guys, for taking the time. I hope I didn't keep you from your dedicated work. But it was such fun. You are great.
It was such a pleasure, Martha.
Thanks, Martha. It was really fun. And anytime.
Thank you.
Martha Stewart here. As a devoted pet parent and culinary expert, I ensure my cats and dogs are fed the finest nutrition. My premium pet food features air-dried protein inclusion, whole fruits and vegetables, and never any fillers. Martha Stewart pet food formulas make it so easy to satisfy the dietary needs and taste preferences of your pets. Now all 6 delicious formulas are 50% off. And there's convenient home delivery on Chewy.com. No more lugging heavy bags, and your pets will thrive on the optimal nutrition and great taste.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global #1 podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.